Now, one of the things I love about this book, and this is The Reading Life, is that you talk about how reading was a refuge in childhood, really almost a guilty pleasure. And I wonder if you'd talk a little bit about how you read everywhere when you were a child.
Well, you know, growing up out in the country, you really only have a couple of options. You can have a lot of premarital sex, or you can take up a life of reading, which is what I did, because you have nothing to do. At least we had nothing to do out in the country where I lived. I mean, we had no cable. We did have an Atari. I don't know if you remember Atari.
Yes.
From the 80s. We had an Atari that we got in, like, 1982 or 83, and it broke on the day after Christmas. We got it on Christmas Day. And when it broke, my dad would just, he was like, well, that's it for video games. So, you know, here's a hatchet. And so we would completely did not belong to the 1980s when it came to having things to do around the house. And when we moved out to Mississippi, we didn't have cable. So, you know, we had, what, like 3 or 4 channels. And when you have nothing to do, you find things to do. And for me, once I discovered the library and once I got a library card, I guess I was about 9 or 10, that was it for me. And I would check out as many books as, you know, I think at school you could check out 1 or 2. And I remember when we went to the Brandon Public Library, which was about 10 or 15 miles away from the house. When I was a kid, you could check out 5 books, something like that. And it was amazing. And so, of course, I started, every time my mom would go to the grocery store, I'd go with her, quote, to town, you know,
yeah.
And get as many books as I could get. Most of them, I have to say, my literary tastes were not refined at first. Most of the books were about magic or card tricks or trivia books. There was this one book that had, like, the secret ingredients to Coca-Cola and what were the secret ingredients to, like, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Like, this was the whole content of the book, or, like, stuff that you can find out on the internet now. But I loved anything that had words, and I read everywhere. I would read, of course, in the car on the way home from the library, but then I started reading at night before bed, like a lot of normal people do, and then I would start taking my books to places I wasn't supposed to take them, like church. You know, it was a different book you were supposed to take to church, and I would take that, and then I would put my book that I was reading inside my Bible. I'd make sure to take the biggest Bible we had so it would hide whatever book I was reading. I'd get in trouble for that. As I should have, I guess. I should have given my attention to the other books that were being talked about.
But I think you probably looked extra holy holding that big
Bible,
know. You know?
They're like, wow, he is really following the pastor very closely. You know, sometimes I'd have to make sure that I was in the right part of the Bible just in case I needed to drop my little Robert Heinlein science fiction book out and be like, oh, yes, Psalm 33, of course, I'm right here with you. I would take my books out to the deer stand, as I'm sure you've come across that
yes.
part of the book. That was probably the best idea I had up until I was at least in my late 20s or early 30s. The idea that, like, once I realized, now this was like the original mobile technology. You know, nowadays everybody has their stupid smartphones out. Anytime they're standing in line, anytime they're waiting in the doctor's office, everybody's sitting around looking at their phones. But when I was a kid, back in the 1980s, nobody had things to do in line. So most people either just talked to somebody else in line or you just sort of stared straight ahead, you know, like livestock. And I would always have a book with me no matter where I was. And I would read, of course, I'd be on the deer stand for 5 hours every morning and maybe 3 hours every afternoon. And once I realized that I could pass the time by reading and that it was mobile, I could hide the book in my coveralls. And nobody would see it, and it was very incognito, and I could pull the book out as soon as the sun came up. Those were the most terrible 30 minutes of my hunting day, were the 30 minutes between when I got to the deer stand and when the sun actually came up, and you could see to read. And I would read, and my technique was I would read about 1 or 2 paragraphs, and then I would look around. Of course, I was looking for deer to shoot. But I was also looking mostly for my brother or my dad so they wouldn't catch me reading, because I knew that would be a terrible discovery. It's sort of like being caught with a nudie magazine or something, because I knew I would never hear the end of it. And this would be revealing to them what I already knew about myself, which is that I hated to hunt and I hated to be out there. And so that helped me keep up the ruse for a long time. And I would always tell my dad when they finally found out that I was sneaking books out to the woods, I'd be like, Dad, my standardized test scores get better every deer season, and that's because I'm reading so many books. So I'm going to get a college scholarship if you just let me keep reading in the woods. And he's like, okay, you know, like, go for it. I would read everywhere. I mean, and now I feel so bad because, like, I still have a book with me when I'm waiting on an oil change, when I'm waiting in the doctor's office. I always have my book with me, and now nobody else does that. I mean, everybody just has their phones. And if I had a smartphone, I'm sure I would be checking Facebook on that too. But it makes me sad that, like, I discovered this thing that could, like, distract you in a healthy way, and that I still do it, but I don't see other people doing it, and that makes me sad, although I'm sure that you and your listeners still take books everywhere and read them when you get a chance.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I love it. As we're taping this, it's July 7th, Robert Heinlein's birthday.
Really?
And
that's so wild.
And the Star Beast is...
Oh, yes.
The Star Beast looms large in this book.
Oh, it does. If I ever get another dog, that's what I'm going to call it, the Star Beast, I think. Such an awesome book. Those books are just crazy. I mean, when I was writing the book and I was having some of these flashback memories, I went back to all these old paperbacks, and they were just so crazy. Like, the book covers were insane. They were, you know, colorful and sort of, it was like half Star Wars, half romance novel book cover. You know, there's always some, like, busty woman on the front.
I know. I love the aliens with large breasts. That was so true.
You know, there's lots of kinds of aliens, and that's not a bad one to be interested in, I guess, for some young boys.